You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans. Welcome to episode 138 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host. We're not going to start the show off the same way we do every week with the breakdown. A little slam for time. So just kind of going old school DNVR Raptors podcast, big time throwback there. Just going to shoot from the hip. So I'll read some of these ads, pay some bills, and then we'll jump into this good conversation I had with Brendan Shea of Rugby Pick'em. Heavily involved with the Denver Barbarians as we kind of look ahead to this weekend's match between the American Raptors and the Denver Barbarians on the turf at Infinity Park on Saturday at 3 p.m. If you're around, check it out. First time these two teams have played each other in 6 years. One of the best rugby rivalries in Denver. So it's kind of cool to see it reignited. So Brendan and I sat down, talked for about a half hour on just kind of what we thought of the matchup and some of the history behind it and all that good stuff. So like I said, a little bit of kind of an old school show, so I'll read some of these ads, then I'll get out of the way and let everybody enjoy this conversation I had with Brendan Shea of Rugby Pick'em and the Denver Barbarians. So, starting off with O'Neill's. O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. Wintergreen. Wintergreen loves rugby and wants to support USA Rugby's mission of uniting an inclusive, passionate rugby community to grow the sport of rugby in America. Wintergreen gels, creams, sprays, and soaks are made with wintergreen oil and other therapeutic natural oils that help to soothe and support sore muscles and joints to keep you at your best. Visit wintergreen.com to purchase the products you need to help you prepare to win. Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. Gilbert Rugby. Gilbert Rugby is the official rugby equipment supplier of the American Raptors. Visit worldrugbyshop.com to grab all your Gilbert Rugby gear. Catapult. Catapult is committed to making performance technology available to athletes at all levels. Whether it's the biggest teams and organizations in world sport or amateur rugby players, Catapult helps monitor performance like the pros. For more information, that's not a word, visit catapultsports.com. Last but certainly not least, we have First Bank, the original sponsor of this podcast. Shout out First Bank. Is the official banking partner of Infinity Park. They believe in banking for good, doing their best to do right by their customers, communities, and employees. Banking for good, member FDIC. So now that all the ads are out of the way, hope you enjoy this conversation with Rugby Pick'em's Brendan Shea, also of the Denver Barbarians. And we'll be back to regular scheduled programming next week. So enjoy. I'll catch you all back here next Friday.
Have you ever played rugby?
All right, now welcome back onto the show, Brendan Shea of Rugby Pick'em and the Denver Barbarians.
Thank you, Colton. Appreciate being back on.
It's been a while. Yeah, I know it has been a while. It's like you're on like a good like quarterly pace, I think.
There you go.
Might have jumped the gun a little
corporate
bit.
Corporate structure.
Yeah, I love it. Last time you were on, we talked a lot about MLR. I got some heat online, so posting my two dudes just talking about old sports players. We're not talking about the MLR this time. We're talking about just a good old fashioned local rumble right here in Denver this weekend. A derby,
as they call it. Yeah. I'm really excited.
Dust
we got
up.
the American Raptors hosting the Denver Barbarians, or the other way around. We both play on that Glendale turf pitch and train on that turf pitch. And I'm really excited for the opportunities that lie ahead for this Saturday. It's going to be a huge day of rugby, which we'll get to. But the reality is it's going to be Denver's best talent all in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
And both teams want to win and keep their winning ways going.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. And like the reason it's going to be fun is because right here, they haven't played in 6 years. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think, you know, we'll quickly go over the history. But, you know, since the pro rugby in 2016 MLR shift, these two teams got away from playing each other. It used to be twice a year like clockwork. Some of those games were in the stadium back in the day, but the fact is they've always been the two most talented teams in town. And, you know, Saturday is just, it's going to be a really physical hit out.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that.
I can remember like back when I was, you know, starting to be around men's rugby, like always in this, I never played men's, you know, club rugby. I've always kind of been around in this little, in this media way, you know, like whether it be, you know, I think I got my start like in social media working for Glendale in the PRP days. So saw a lot of good, you know, Raptors, Barbos clashes. And it's just always like a fun game. Like the people always showed up for it. People are always excited for it. The stadium was always pretty packed. It's just like some good energy around it.
Yeah, and I've seen big crowds out so far in the spring. At the turf field and just buzzing about rugby in general, because that happens with the warm weather, right? People get out and they want it. But if we look back on the history, the Barbos were founded in 1967. So it's kind of one of those historic clubs that have played forever and continued to play at the top level. The Glendale Stadium was built in around 2007, so we'll quickly fast forward 40 years. And back then it was the Super League. You know, it was a version of the MLR where teams kind of flew city to city and played each other, obviously without, you know, the pay that they're getting now.
Right.
It still had amateur forms. But the Barbos Raptors kind of initial rivalry began in those Super League years. There was something called the Elite Cup in 2012 as the Super League kind of wound down and teams couldn't afford all that travel. And then, as you mentioned, it kind of morphed into the Pacific Rugby Premiership, the PRP. That's actually when I had my playing days. I played some of my best rugby from around 2012 to 15. But I do have to give my laurels to Glendale. During those 3 years, I think it was 13, 14, 15, we went 0 for 6. You know, we never beat Glendale. There was some really, really good teams led by Luke White, you know, Austin Welsh, Casey Rock. We're playing some amazing rugby back then.
Palga brothers, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I have always enjoyed the rivalry in the sense that I've been on the bitter end of, of a couple losses that, you know, really sit with you years to come. In 2016, we all know what happened. Pro rugby became a thing, and instead of having, you know, two really good teams, they morphed to form the Denver Stampede, the purple and black unis.
My guy, Mose Timoteo, hooked me up with a Denver Stampede polo. I got it in my closet right here. If you want me to pull it out, I'll show it to you.
Mose was the nine, the captain, you know, the core of that team that went on to win the league. You know, so there was a wealth and talent that came together. Max Moteachaval, longtime Barbo, ended up playing for the Raptors after the fact. But we've seen kind of the ebb and flow of the rivalry come and go. And reigniting it after a pandemic in 2022 when the American Raptors are an entirely different looking entity.
Yeah.
The Barbos are still an amateur club. We always aim to play at the highest level and compete for championships, but the structure itself hasn't really changed. And, and we'll talk about the pros and cons of each coming up, but that's kind of like the short history. And Saturday is going to be, you know, a new page in the history. I'm really excited for the opportunity, not only for the players, because I think out there on the field at any given time of the 30 players, I think about half can play in the MLR and have what it takes. So this is going to be about as talented a non-MLR game that you'll see in the U.S.
Right. No, and you're completely right by saying that. Do you just kind of want to get into to that next point about
the pros and cons? Well, let's just talk about how important local derbies are, right? Like, as rugby fans, like, we're going to get out and watch the games because you and I are heavily involved with our clubs. But the average rugby fan, like, they get up so much more when two teams are in town, when you're playing a rival, when you can call your friend who roots for the rival team and talk some shit and make a bet. Like, there just seems like there's more juice in the building when it's a local derby. Yeah. Tell me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right. I just like, if you listen to the show I did last week with American Raptors director of rugby, Mark Bullock, I asked him a little bit about his, you know, his role that he's played in kind of getting the Glendale, like Seattle rugby club rivalry going. He's, you know, I was heavily involved in both of those clubs. And he said it himself, it's all, you know, it's always fun to beat your brother. Like, these are guys that you've been around, you've played rugby around, like, very likely your entire rugby career. So, of course, there's going to be some, you know, you want to get the leg up on them. And I've already seen on social some of the, you know, I've seen Malik Bryant posting about playing against Daytwan Sheridan. And those guys have been friends for a while, 12 years, something like that. Like, they were on that TV show together. Trying to make it in that next Olympic hopeful. Like, that's where they kind of met each other, played together with the XOs. They were at that first crossover camp and, you know, parted ways. Malik and the club did, and now Malik's kind of been lighting it up for the Barbos. So it's going to be – you want to beat your brother. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. And we'll hop into some of the players we want to highlight. But let's talk about, you know, professionalism versus an amateur club, because – I've done a lot of thinking on this. I think there are a lot of different dynamics that go into each setup, you know, some advantages and some disadvantages. So we'll start with professionalism, right? The Raptors get paid to play rugby. Advantages for sure is going to be facilities, organization, right? The team knows how to operate. They've done it before. And obviously, like, cash hitting your bank account each week.
Right.
That's an advantage. That motivates people.
Just being able to focus, you know, solely on becoming a better rugby player. That's what their jobs are. Become the best rugby player they can be, obviously with less things distracting you, like a job and all this other stuff. It theoretically is easier to do that, right?
Yeah, well, you treat rugby like a job.
Exactly. Right?
And what I've seen in the past is guys who have their life really, you know, going steady outside of rugby tend to play their best rugby. But I would argue that being able to concentrate on it Monday through Friday and really say, this is what I'm doing, it's an advantage.
Yeah.
And, you know, I expect that a Paul Emmerich coach team is going to come out super sharp in the set piece, totally understand when and where they're going to try and attack and exploit the defense. And I'm confident that we are going to play a professional team.
Right? Yeah.
That's what the Barbos know is ahead of them. What could potentially be a disadvantage to that? I would argue potentially the fact that because you are professional, you're going to see guys come and go and move on to new contracts. And we've talked about it before, but rugby tends to kind of lean towards these 1 to 2 year contracts. I think a lot of players enjoy like traveling and using rugby as a ways to get around the globe, and that's why the contracts lean a bit shorter, and it's very injury heavy, right? So no management's like, let's ink you for a decade.
Yeah.
But I think obviously there has been a rotation and kind of a reload, right? Between the Raptor team.
Oh yeah. That's like, I've talked about it, you know, I'm not sure if I've talked about this podcast before. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't, but like the thing that's kind of like dawning on me as we make our way through this third season here is there's always going to be kind of this weird ceiling, right? Like Peter's talked about it before. I just talked to Mark again about it last week, like the recruiting, how hard that is because just by design, like the way that this program is set up now, trying to get these crossover athletes in, you know, it is a revolving door. Like they come in, they get coached up enough to maybe, you know, another team picks them up. They go on to do other things. Sometimes they decide, you know, I just kind of want to be a regular person. I just want to work a job. And so with that, there is a lot of turnover. And so instead of all growing as one, you know, you're always kind of like, you can only grow so fast because the guys that have been in here for three seasons now, you know, they played a lot more rugby than the guys who have, you know, just picked up a ball 2 months ago. So like there's kind of this weird, like, it's like a glass ceiling kind of. It's almost seems like you can only go so high. So does that make sense? Am I making any sense?
I think what you're saying too is like similar to anybody in sales. You're going to have guys at different stages of the pipeline.
Exactly. Yes.
If closing a deal in the rugby equivalent is sending a guy to play in another league. You're going to have guys at different stages all the time. Now, is that a disadvantage when you have a full-time coach who knows how to get guys wired in and you have a leader, you know, a captain like Max who knows how to motivate people and steer the ship? Probably not as much.
Not as much. I think it's
something to think about.
Yeah, it definitely still exists because, I mean, at the end of the day, like, you got to play rugby to become a rugby player, right? Like, that's the only way you're going to learn. And I know there'll be a couple of guys we talk about here in a minute, but a lot of guys just simply don't have match time yet. They're still learning the rules. And, you know, that's the only way you learn is you just kind of jump in and do it, sink or swim.
No, I'm really excited. It's going to be good. Count how many times I say excited on the pod after when you edit. Let's kind of flip over to an amateur club now. And we use that term amateur, not in the sense that, like, these guys don't know what they're doing rugby-wise, in the sense that, like, there's no direct pay.
Right.
Even when you play for really good clubs that have been around for decades and have history and have old boys and boosters, all the fundraising really goes to just letting the team operate in general. You know, very little is like hitting the players' pockets. You know,
right.
We get an old boy every now and then who's like, I'll give $100 for every try or $50 for every point, you know? And that's all well and good. And that's part of having fun and throwing some money around and rewarding people for good play. But for the most part, I would say there's extreme disadvantages to being an amateur. You know, guys have to love it and want it to be out there. You know, are there also disadvantages in training twice a week from 8 to 10?
Yeah.
Probably. That's pretty freaking late.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've
late.
Ever gotten home after a 10 o'clock training, like, wired.
Yeah, you just can't go to bed yet. Yeah.
You're like, God damn it, what the hell am I doing? And you got turf burn on your knees and stuff, and no one's paying you to be there.
Yeah.
You tend to question. I see a lot of early retirements, right, for club guys.
It's cold, you know. I've seen some of those posts about running around when it's negative.
We can't cancel. We don't have the luxury of canceling. If it's 20 degrees and snowy,
get your work in.
We're out there. You know, we're not going to get a last-minute bubble at 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So there have been some February practices where I think the boys were a little razzled by the weather and being like, what the hell am I doing out here?
Yep.
It's also hard to get going in February, you know? Anytime you do a camp in a bone-chilling environment, and the Raptors did the same thing, right, when they reported, it's hard to motivate, man.
Yeah.
Especially when you're just doing internal hitouts and just, you know, bashing shoulders with your teammates.
You get sick of it.
Yeah. So this is why, you know, the local derby is so good, right?
Yeah.
They're going to get to go against different guys, and it's going to be great. And no one has to travel, and everybody can invite their family and friends and pull up a chair, you know, and have a beverage and just enjoy good rugby in a really easy, convenient spot, which is Infinity Turf, 1055 South Cherry.
That should be a nice spring day too, right? It should be like the perfect usher, you know, into summer.
Now, one last thing. We'll do advantages for an amateur club. I would argue that even without the pay, sometimes having guys who just play for the love of the game is
that's what I was going to say. Like, especially with this Raptor setup where you're getting in guys that are kind of like still feeling it out. Like, they don't know if they like rugby yet, you know, and you're bringing a whole team of guys that love rugby. Like,
or maybe, you know, a Raptor guy's coming from a football practice squad where he was making pretty damn good money compared to it. So you're right. Some of these guys have like 5 to 8 years of chemistry and playing with each other, whether it's summer sevens or, you know, just
seeing them around, right? Like, with, especially in rugby, it's so small. Like, you go to a tournament way up in the Northeast, you're going to see a bunch of the same people you see when you go play in LA or something, right? Like,
I've always noticed, like, I'll always memorize my competitor's face.
Yeah.
Even if I have met him, be like, I played you before.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the competitor in all of us.
Like, right.
We never want to lose to anybody. And we always think we should have won that game.
Uh-huh.
Anybody that's really competitive has that mindset. I'll just say, like, from what I've seen so far this spring of 22, the Barbos have been humming. I don't think we played good enough competition. And we've talked about how, like, we want all the teams in Denver to get better. So, like, rising tide lifts all boats.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's still not there. We put up some big score lines against, like, Colorado Springs, Highlanders, Queen City. We even put together a February tour where we went down to Tempe, Arizona, and played a Thursday-Saturday game, you know, similar to what we're going to see in the playoffs in 2 weeks coming. And we had big score lines against Tempe and Phoenix, you know, so we've yet to really get that matchup where we're like, gents, like, dig in. This is going to be a
battle,
which is what I'm expecting Saturday. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's going to be cool. And I this is such a cop-out answer, but I'm looking at this expectations of the game bullet point. I've said it time and time again, the Raptors really, like, they're in every game. Like, even when they're not, they always seem to, like, crawl back into it. There's been times, even you look 2 weeks ago, I think they were down 17-0 to Giltini's Academy. They just crawl back into it. Like, I think part of that, I don't know if it's fitness or just like the way, the type of athletes these guys are, but I just anticipate it being a close one again. I don't know if I could pick a winner.
Well, we'll put a little side bet
okay.
At the end of the pod.
Okay. That sounds good to me.
Let's dive into some guys.
Okay.
Because love there's going to be guys out there on
yeah.
the pitch.
You know, probably 30 of them.
I say it in a joking tone, but I mentioned earlier, like a lot of these people will go on to play professionally at mm-hmm. the next level. And we've kind of highlighted five from each team, but we could probably even drop some more names at the end.
Yeah, we might as well.
Let's start with the captain for the American Raptors, who already has MLR caps.
Yeah, he's got to try. I didn't answer my trivia question, by the way. I remembered like as soon as I stopped, put the podcast out. I'm really wrong. We can talk about it later. But yes, Max is one of the players on that list.
And he just recently came on the podcast, kind of talked about where the team was.
Yeah.
When I see him play rugby, he's like a threat to pass and
yeah.
put guys through, even though you would think like a big, tall, powerful lock is going to be that hard man, that hard runner every time. Not saying Max isn't a hard man. He is.
He's a utility knife. Utility man, Swiss Army knife. And Max too, like I thought it was interesting. I'm sure you heard his whole analogy about how rugby is the sport that's most like war. And then he kind of amended it to chess. And I feel like you can really see like, he can sit down and tell you exactly what he's thinking and exactly why he made this decision because he was hoping that it would set up this. And I think part of that, you know, he's the most experienced rugby player on this team, I'm pretty sure. I think he has the most years under his belt. It's funny to say because he's only like 23. Like
he's a tactician.
Yeah. And it's cool to see him kind of take on this captain's role because he always has been the youngest guy, you know, and now, like, you're getting on this team where he is, like, kind of right in the middle, and especially having all that knowledge. It's been cool to see him, like, put it to use and really just kind of come into his own as a player and as a leader.
And one thing I want to add is, like, being a captain on any team is really hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard this saying, like, what's focal is causal, and it's why presidents or CEOs get way too much credit when it's good and way too much blame when it's bad.
Yeah.
Right? So things are always going to pop up with a team, and it's your job as the captain to go out, make sure you got a good pulse on what's going on and who the stakeholders are and how to solve those things.
Yeah.
And I imagine like Max has his hands full this year, and it's never, ever easy to lead.
Mm-hmm.
If it was, there'd be a ton of leaders out there.
And you can,
but there aren't.
I mean, you can only imagine, especially like with being around a bunch of guys that haven't played rugby before, like there's probably a little bit of extra, you know, helping a lot, hand holding, I guess you could say.
Like, yeah,
exactly. Like, there's a lot of other things you have to do when it's not assumed as much as it has been in the past, if that makes sense. Like, you kind of assume that people know what's going on or know how this operates. And when you have all these guys that didn't know what rugby was a year ago, you know, you kind of have to teach them a little bit more of that stuff too, which can be hard as well.
Yeah. Well, speaking of other experienced players, walk us through some guys in the back line who have caught our eye.
Yeah, Samu Smith obviously is another experienced guy. Again, guy that played did a little stint with Rugby United New York, I think, in 2019. Samu just seems like a guy that gets better and better. Like, I feel like every time I watch him play, he just seems like he's that much more fit. He, you know, especially like I feel like his kicking last year, he's really shown it off with the boot. Line Latu is a guy I've talked about quite a bit just since this whole thing started. He's kind of the first guy that really caught my eye. And he's got like a especially special story, I guess, coming into this year because he was, I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago. He's in a head-on car accident on his way down to Los Angeles from the Bay Area for a trial run with the Giltinis last year. So got hit head-on on the highway early in the morning with Watson Flikitonga, another guy on the Raptors, and broke a bunch of bones in his feet. He had to have some surgery. So this is his first season back. This is the first time he's played rugby in 9-10 months. And he's, you know, he's gotten himself back in shape and he looks really good right now. I think he's still the leading scorer. You know, I saw some clips from this past weekend Seattle match and been very unselfish and gave one up that he probably could have punched in.
Well,
but
that's what a good 10 does.
Yeah.
Right? Is that where he typically slots at fly half?
He's playing fullback last week. Yeah. Fly half's kind of like his, you could tell they're still kind of like feeling it out, like who's playing where, but he's played 12 a little bit. I know he played 12 a couple of matches last year, so he's kind of, you can slot him in anywhere and he's going to look good.
Well, between him and Simu, you got to think that, you know, the pack of the American Raptors is going to be massive and they're going to run really hard, right? And I'm sure the Denver Barbarian coaching staff is going to know that, right? But it's at phase 4, 5, 6, 7 where backs like Line and Simu can spot a gap and just go.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's the heartbreaking score, right? Mm-hmm. If a team just walks it down on you, it's like, damn, they earned that try. But the ones that really suck are like the 70-meter try from one missed tackle. I mean, that is killer as a player.
Right.
It's kinda, it just takes all the
will out of you. Yeah. Line, too, a little funny, I guess, side note, was the first match the Exos played down in New Orleans, Pat Clifton was at that game, and he was live tweeting his thoughts, and Line got somebody, like he trucked him pretty hard. It was like kind of like threw a dummy and just tucked the ball, and it's one of the ones where you put it up against your chest and it kind of like propels the defender off of you. And Pat Clifton had a tweet that was like, not many 10s are you know, trucking second rowers, but not many 10s are like built out of a slab of granite like Line Latu is. So,
and the thing is, I've noticed, like, as far as backs who can bump a guy, it starts with good footwork because you freeze him and then you're like, oh, you're done.
Yep, that's exactly. It's kind of like a show and get their feet stuck in the cement. Last back I want to talk about before I guess we move into the one forward I have on the list, Luke Millett. Luke is a freak athlete. Luke played football at NIU. He also played lacrosse in college, so he's a two-sport athlete. I think he's the first lacrosse player that has come through the program as a crossover athlete. But if you play two college sports, you're a good athlete. And I've heard through the grapevine that if there is another David Still, this guy has the potential to kind of fill those shoes. He's still learning how to play, obviously. Not even sure he'll be on the roster this weekend, but if he is, guy to keep your eye on.
All right, well, I will. And shout out to David Still, who very quickly throws his hand up, you know, not just with the Gilgronis and MLR caps, but on the Seventh Circuit.
Yeah, he looks like a natural out there.
Yeah, and that's what I love about this idea behind the American Raptors is like, hey, if we sift through a lot of good crossover players, there are going to be some guys that just rise to the top and do it quickly. And David Still is living proof of that.
Yeah, certainly. Last guy I want to talk about, Caleb Rep. Caleb played, I think he played wide receiver at Utah State. If you Google him, he's got a nice play that made SportsCenter top 10, threw his hand up, got a nice little one-handed touchdown grab in the back of the end zone. But just kind of from what I've heard about Caleb is he's really been thrown into the fire. He was around last year a little bit, just kind of taking a minute to get his feet under him, catch him in the second row. But I've heard he's been thrown into the fire this season, and like he's coming out on top. So he's surviving that initial baptism. And I think the more he plays, because again, freak athlete, more he plays, the better he's going to be. And again, another guy that if he's on the roster, keep your eye on.
Caleb Rep and Luke Millett. We'll keep our eyes out for that.
Yeah, you can't miss him.
While we touch on it, we got to give the other Caleb some props. Caleb Geiger fully taking over the starting hooker position in Rugby New York. So
scoring a try. He was even when he was coming in relief, he was giving some good minutes. He's just a machine. Yeah. He's a logger.
You love to see that, man. He's from Sedalia.
Yeah, I remember I talked to him. When I had him on the pod, I forgot to ask him about logging, which was a big miss on my part. It was like as soon as we stopped, it's like, oh, should have asked you about logging. And I just asked him, like, is it harder to be a logger? Is it harder to play rugby? He said, oh, being a logger. Yeah. I went out logging, helped my dad. He has a logging business, Caleb's dad does, and said it kicked his ass. So
I don't doubt it. Let's pivot and just shout out some Denver Barbarians of note. I mean, we got to start with Malik, right? We had just brought up the fact that he's really Malik for this game. And he had a great summer sevens. Obviously, his build and skill set. He's a burner, for those that don't know. He's got 4.3 speed.
Probably the fastest dude I've ever seen in real life. And he told me that he beat Antonio Brown in a race.
Yeah.
I think I've told you that before.
Disagree, but yeah.
But, I mean, let's take a look at Malik and look at Antonio Brown and who are you going to believe?
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, man, Malik, he's played a lot of rugby, you know, since he had played for the XOs, and the fact that he did a whole summer of sevens. He got some more sevens in the fall with select teams. He's gotten a look with Tiger Rugby.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And you know, I'm really happy because he puts out nothing but good vibes in the world.
Yeah, he's just a good dude.
Yeah. Malik's the guy, you know, you want like babysitting your four-year-old.
Yeah.
You know things aren't going to go wrong with him in charge. He's just like got that cool demeanor. But rugby-wise, it's different on a 15s pitch, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard to play wing when you're starved of the ball for 15 minutes at a time. And I imagine like, you know, if there is some aerial ping pong and it's sent back and forth, he's going to look for that open space to have a go. Because, again, he really just has that burner type of speed. But, yeah, he's going to be going all out. When you play your old team, you want to win.
Yeah.
These guys are all competitors. Like, it's all love. But when that whistle blows, like, Malik's going to be going.
I'm trying to think, like, again, this iteration of the American Raptors, I haven't seen much of them because I haven't seen them play live yet. But I think if he gets some space, I don't think there's anyone that can catch him. Yeah. Could be wrong, but like
it's
I said,
about
he's
how the back three for yeah. the American Raptors go about it. Right?
Yeah,
because like good fullback coverage left to right throws in another cut
right.
that a burner's got to make, and maybe a trailing winger
right.
can double him up. But it'll be interesting to stay in the backs. There's a certain individual, Connor O'Brien, who's grabbed the reins at scrum half for the Barbos. Raptor fans might remember him from a game in the fall. The Hartford Harpooners came to town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Connor knew the owner or operator coach Marcus Satavu
yeah.
for the Harpooners. So he hopped in, and that was a game where the Harpooners really had a chance.
Yeah.
He's that nine where he's going to like mess with you and play like any scrum half
right? behavior. Yep.
They like to rile people up. And he's got a big mullet, you know, you can't
love
miss
that.
It. But he's got a great pass, and I think he's really like rallied around the boys, and you got to have trust. Like your forward pack has to trust you as a nine because you're leading them around the pitch, and Connor's done a great job, and he can make something, you know, even with a little gap. So keep your eyes out for Connor O'Brien. Eric Sykes is a veteran player who's been around the block probably since like 2018. Really sevens is kind of his thing in craft, but he's been slotting at 13 and having a go. Let him know, Sykes, if you want to check out his Instagram, because he likes to let him know. But, you know, he's a guy I wouldn't be surprised is playing PR sevens this summer.
Nice.
One of those dudes that just, you know how it is, like sometimes you can go pro, but things are just happening in your life where you don't really want to.
Right.
You don't.
Why mess up a good
Denver,
thing?
Yeah. You know, he didn't want to uproot and go try and make a squad because he loves playing for the Barbos, and that's just his jam.
The so grass is not always sex. Greener, right?
Yeah. Let's throw a forward in there. Folks might see him on the officiating circuit. But Mike Lawrenson is still an active player, loves to get out with the Barbos. This is a guy who played for County's Manukau professionally back in probably that 2017, 18, 19 era.
I wonder if he's
towering lock who can attack the line from KwaZulu-Natal. And South African through and through, but he's here in Denver to stay, and he runs our lineup.
You know? A master of the rules.
Yeah, it's no secret, you know, who we like to get it to up in the air. Lucatani is the last name I have on there.
A familiar face.
Yes. He has played for the American Raptors. He now plays for the Denver Barbarians. He's also played in the MLR with the Gilgronis. And
I think Austin, too. Or you just said that. Excuse
yeah.
me, sorry.
But, like, you know, Luca, last time I talked to him, said he's just having fun playing rugby, right? So we talked about that dynamic between being professional and being an amateur. And, you know, I've really loved what he's done in the wide channels. Again, we have been playing as good of a competition as we need to be. But if I can kind of prepare anybody for this game, it's that the Denver Barbarians pack loves to play wide. They're forwards that think they're backs, you know, and that might be hard to do on a really well-skilled, well-coached team like the Raptors. But if the Barbos, you know, want to hang and put their stamp in this game, they have to front up and play defense for the first 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. They can't think about champagne tries and offloads. It's like, you got to meet this team in the sand and let them know that you're not going to budge.
Yeah. Luca too. I mean, I saw up close and personal what he can do. Very skilled. He's played a lot of rugby. He's been in a lot of different systems. He told me that he won like the dodgeball championship in fifth grade or something like that. So another, you know, multi-skilled athlete. I'm excited, man. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, we'll see if dodgeball can cross over. but now that we're wrapping up, Colton, I mean, we got to put a little friendly something
I know.
On it
what right are now. What are we doing?
Well, I don't think we'd be backing either one of our teams if we said there was a handicap here. So we'll put it at an even handicap.
Yeah.
Barbos win, you take me out to Joe's Cafe down the road.
Okay.
Raptors win, I take you out to Joe's Cafe down
okay,
the road.
That's a deal. All right. That's a deal.
It looks like we're headed to Joe's next week.
Can't go wrong.
Let's throw some times in there so okay. everybody knows.
Saturday, 3 p.m.
Yeah, that's when American Raptors are kicking off against the Barbos.
Uh-huh.
But right after that game, we yeah. got the Barbos B-side against the Water Dogs.
You can catch some stray Raptors in that one, too. And then there's a curtain raiser, is there not?
I believe there is a Colorado Grey Wolves curtain raiser. So, folks, it's going to be a big yeah. day at Infinity. Bring the umbrella. Bring the sunscreen. Maybe bring a cooler.
Exactly.
Just
got to.
Stay, enjoy it, be a part of this local derby because hasn't happened in a while and
who knows?
I'm really excited.
Hopefully it happens again soon. It's going to be a fun one, man. I look forward to catching up with you out there and we'll talk about it later.
Appreciate you, Colby.